In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you are faithful to your missal, you may have anticipated that this would be the third Sunday after Easter. But in the more ancient of our calendars, today is the feast of St. Mark. It is also, by tradition, the celebration of the Greater Litanies and the Rogation Days. There are a great many things happening on this day, and as we here at the Oratory continue to uncover, if you will, and discover the fullness of our tradition, there will be times when we might be slightly out of sync from where both the ancient church is and where the new church is, if we can describe them as such, although in truth they are but one church. The beauty of this is that it opens to us the panoply of the riches of the church and provides us today especially to call to mind the work of the great evangelist St. Mark. He himself put to paper the life of Christ, but through the eyes of St. Peter, whose disciple he was. Relying on the testimony given to us by St. Matthew, St. Mark's gospel by tradition is the shortest of the gospels, because his concern was simply to put forth the truth of the proclamation of our Savior, and to witness to the greatness of Christ made manifest through the life of St. Peter, the one who denied our Lord and in that act of denial betrayed him, becomes his greatest defender, and he himself offers his life in defense of the faith. Mark indeed puts in great detail the betrayal of St. Peter. Contrary to what we might think, if we were to ask someone to write our own life story, we would ask them to write only the good things that we had accomplished, not including the bad. But St. Peter himself, concerned only about the truth of Christ, never moved away from that which he himself had done. And in truth, it gives even greater testimony to the power of our Savior that he could use such a weak vessel for the proclamation of truth. And St. Mark himself, we know by tradition, is eventually martyred, again, in defense of the faith. Our gospel from St. Luke details for us today the Lord sending out the 72. To go forth and to proclaim the good news. The advice he gives is both spiritual and practical. The practical advice is to be together, to have companions in this journey, lest one feel alone and bereft. Also, an awareness that indeed we are being sent like lambs among wolves, and the world into which we go to preach is a world that is hostile at times to that which we are preaching. He also makes clear that we are indeed worthy of our hire. And then there are the practical exhortations not to be encumbered by anything, but that spiritual reality that underlies that practical reality. Because as we are unencumbered by things, the more we can give greater testimony to the power of God working through us. But the Lord says to those he sends out that when they come to those places where they will preach, whether it be cities or homes, they are to greet those who they meet upon entering with the profound words of peace be with you. I believe this is an appropriate point of reflection for us, especially for us dedicated as we are to living out tradition in the life of the church. We oftentimes can find ourselves embroiled in legitimate debates and discussions, or find ourselves in a sense always on edge and on guard against what we might encounter from those who don't understand how it is that we live or why we choose to worship in this particular way. That defensiveness at times may even turn into a hostility where we go on the offensive, attacking those who are different from us, who believe or pray in a different manner. And again, there might be some legitimacy to all of this, but ultimately, indeed, we must do what the Lord himself did and continues to do. He brings peace. If there be any division, it should not be because we ourselves introduced that division, but instead because truth himself brings division. If there is any separation, it should not come from us, but rather our proclamation of the truth that requires that people either accept the truth in toto or they live separated from God. The Lord enjoins twice to give this exhortation, this reality of peace. And I believe that is good for us as well. Truly, I believe that one of the great hallmarks of our life here at Faith in the Oratory is because we are not encumbered by a fractiousness. We have sought deliberately and intentionally to live as a community of faith, putting aside all of those particular arguments that may indeed have some degree of legitimacy, but oftentimes become the things that fracture a community as we seek to move forth. Our goal is to worship God in the manner in which God has given us to worship Him. And in doing that which the church has done for over a millennia, we find our peace and comfort in Him alone. Brothers and sisters, these are not pious platitudes, and they cannot be. Rather, they must be the words by which we govern our lives, because it then is in this manner that we continue the work of St. Mark and the other evangelists. We go forth and we proclaim and witness to the truth of Christ and the good news therein. And if, like St. Mark, we are asked to shed our blood in defense of the faith, not only are we ready to do so, we rejoice that we have been found worthy to suffer so greatly in the name of the Lord. We have no fear of the things that men might do to us, not because we believe in our own native talents or our own natural strength, because we know we are armed and safeguarded by the greatest reality, and that is God Himself. And so you must present yourself as a man, as a woman of peace, because your confidence comes not in you and the things you accomplish, but rather in the God who is yearning through you. And then in that matter, you truly can set forth the power of Christ. And what will be attractive will not only be the words that you proclaim, but the life that you live in God in Christ. You will be a man, a woman of an abiding peace, not ignorant to the difficulties of the world in which you live, not blinded by the fact that indeed you are among wolves as a lamb sent to slaughter, but realizing that there is one greater who resides in you. And as so happened in the early church, it happened to Peter himself. People will want what it is that you have. And like Peter, you will tell them, it is not silver or gold that I have to give you, but Christ crucified and who is our Redeemer. That is what is attractive. It is hopefully, after all, what has brought you here today to celebrate this great and august sacrifice. Not seeking the adulation of men, but entreating God for His infinite love and mercy, that you might be armed by feeding upon His body and the beauty of His blood to go forth and witness to His truth to the ends of the world. And so in those times of difficulty, those times of struggle, where you might not have the words that need to be said or the courage to live rightly, go back to St. Mark and ask for his intercession. He will indeed be there to intercede for you, as all the panoply of holy men and women before us continue to do so. And when you call upon him and the other evangelists, God indeed will send them to you and give you the courage you need to proclaim the truth. So go forth this day and tell all that you might meet with great peace and great confidence that the kingdom of God is indeed at hand. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.